The Torah brings down in the beginning here the halachas relating to Chodesh Elul. So he says here as follows. He brings down the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar that talks about the idea really of why we start all of these inyonim already from Rosh Chodesh. Minig b'nei Ashkenaz is we don't do it until this week. We don't start saying slichas till this week. Whereas the b'nei Sfarad already started from Rosh Chodesh Elul. So the Torah discusses here the whole idea of Esoiris during Chodesh Elul. He brings down from the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar as follows. Shetoikim b'sheifa b'Rosh Chodesh Elul. V'atam l'zeh. He says, what's the reason? So he brings down two reasons. He makes it into one reason. He says, Kasher Moshe Rabbeinu ola b'pam ha'shlish yis la'har Sinai b'Rosh Chodesh Elul. Toku b'shoifa. They blew shoifa. Kedei sheyedu ha'om mimosai limnois arboim yeim. So first, the Torah brings down that the reason for blowing Chodesh Elul is because they blew then, when Moshe went up to Har Sinai, they blew Chodesh Elul. And he says the reason they blew then during Chodesh Elul, simply it sounds from the Torah, was as a reminder to let people know, as to notify them, that Moshe went up this and this time. It sounds like he's saying that they shouldn't make a mistake again. That seems to be Sheyedu mimosai limnois oisam arboimyein. We had a tragic conclusion when Klai Yisrael miscalculated previous time that Moshe went up. So to eliminate that outcome, they had this shofar. Doesn't sound like they blew it throughout the month, although there's another medrash that says they did. Over here, the lashon of the medrash is V'toku b'roish chodesh elu, period. Then he says as follows. V'al yidei oisei shofar, nis'ale ha'kodesh boch, says the Torah, shenemar ola alokim b'sruah. This is mamash apliya. This was nothing more than an announcement. They blew shofar to let Klai Yisrael know that Moshe went up, so that we know how to calculate when Moshe went. There's nothing very spiritual about that. It's factual. It's practical. Says the Torah that through that shofar that they blew to notify Klai Yisrael when Moshe went up, Hashem got elevated. The Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu got elevated. And then he continues and he says, V'korach hoidesh toikim, the Torah seems then gives us a totally different reason, and he makes it as though it's one reason. A totally different reason. The reason that's brought down in many of the Rishonim, which is that blowing shofar in general is the seiros of tshuva. And for that reason we blow during Chodesh Elul. This is nothing to do with the reminder that Klai Yisrael had from Moshe Rabbeinu when he went up on Har Sinai. It's a separate reason. Totally independent. And that reason actually explains why we blow the whole month. Because every day we're being more people to tshuva. And mainly we blow the whole month. Okay. So why are you giving... A, why are you giving me the other reason? Why are you combining the reasons? And why in the world is that first reason, which only explains a speck of the minik, it would only explain Rosh Chodesh Elul. On Rosh Chodesh Elul itself, which by the way is a controversy on its own, whether you blow on Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh itself, there's a chilukim in Hagim. Whether you blow on Rosh Chodesh itself. But at most, it would give us a mocker for that one day that you blow shofar. And then he combines it to the other time. So I think the way we have to understand this, and this ties really into the idea of slichus. Last night, I was dealing with a halacha shaila and during Kabbalah Shabbos as to what you do if you're davening kivosikin and you don't quite make it for the slichas. And you get to shul, they're already up to the beginning. Somebody asked me the shaila halacha lemaisa, if they daven kivasikin, should they push off? Should they actually say slichas first and then daven with a minyan that's a little later? Or is the mile of a sikin doiche the mile of davening the slichas? So I spoke about arichas, the whole pratum of the shaila. Primarily, I brought out one very, very significant point that l'chayre, the way we do slichas today, l'chayre, I'm not talking about tonight, but in general, throughout the week, l'chayre is connected the way it's supposed to be. Because, really, halachically speaking, the slichas should be after davening, like we do on taniyos. Well, fast days, when do we say slichas? We say slichas after davening, after shachas. And the reason for that is simple. Todu v'shene todu todu kodem. Shachas is todu. And the slichas is the chene todu. Todu v'shene todu todu kodem. Shachas, according to the Rambam, is the reise. So it's actually todu and mukdash. Now, the whole minigah oilam of saying slichas before the davening is an old, old custom from its inception. It's found in Rav Haigoyen. It's found in the Machzor Vitri from Rashi. It's found in the Siddur of Rashi. But the minig makes sense the way it originated. Because the way it originated, they said slichas at night. Meaning before Alois HaShachar, they got up Ashmeres. The Rambam actually says it explicitly. The Rambam in the Chos Tshuva says that they woke up Belailo to say slichas before Alois HaShachar. There's no shayla of todah v'shene todah. It's not as man tefillah. And years later, when I was learning in Preshburg, in Eretz Yisrael, I found an old sefer, Matmayim Mishalinki, and he quotes one of the Italian Rishonim that asked this question, why is slichas before davening? And he actually says, because it's koydem as man tefillah. Before it's man tefillah. So the way we do it today, technically, should be after davening. Somebody say slichas 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. They should first daven, and then they should say slichas. Svor. So I talk asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, and he was masking. He said, in Svor, that's the way it should be. He said, minig is not to do like that, but in Svor, it's the way it should be. So I said, Zecher, if you're davening Vesikin, Zecher, you should daven Vesikin, not push off Iker Zman Tfile, okay, Gidura, and to go say slichas, that's for sure. But I said, we have to try the miyash of minig Yisroel. So I want to tie it into this tour. I think what's going on here is a simple idea. When Klai Yisrael did the Chet of the Egel Azov, so there's a simple elementary way to understand it, and then there's a deeper way to really delve in to what was the dynamics that led to the Chet of the Egel Azov. On an elementary level, this is the way we're taught in Yeshiva Ketana. Klai Yisrael made a miscalculation, and then we have Medroshim to dramatize that miscalculation. They saw the Satan, made the Mitzvah Shel Moshe Rabbeinu, and Ahinu Nahel, all kinds of Eitzes. But the fact remains that we know that Moshe didn't exactly leave the beginning of the day, and that's why the first day didn't count. There's a whole Parshat the Cheshbon. The truth is that whatever the Cheshbon is, that they made a miscalculation, is one which they could have understood in that generation too. In that generation, they also could have understood it. The Egel Azov was not just a mere miscalculation. The Egel Azov was, as the Baruch Shem said, V'yisyeh Sa'om Azeh V'rahu, that Klai Yisrael Zuch Ongechapt to a chet, to Yetzahor of the Egel Azov, and the calculation and the miscalculation was a way, was a teretz. It wasn't a kasha, it was a teretz. It was a teretz to make the Egel Azov. It wasn't that Klai Yisrael had a kasha, and the kasha led us to do the Egel Azov. It was an Egel Azov, and the kasha is how are we going to make an Egel Azov when the teretz are given a miscalculation. And we worked out cheshbonis in this. If Klai Yisrael's state of mind would have been in the proper state of mind, the answer to the question, just like we could give it today, what happened, where Moshe was, and how, what's the delay based on, they could have given the Dol Deya, was plenty able to give the same tirutzim that we give. That's exactly why Moshe came late. So really it was a state of mind that led to the Chet of Degel Azov. It was a lack of whatever level of Yerushamayim, Yiras Chet. And yes, of course, there was a way to rationalize the Chet of the Egel Azov, and that was the rationalization. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up again, it wasn't a question of telling Klai Yisrael when Moshe went. If that was the objective, they would have counted Sfira. It would have been a better way to calculate. They would have made Hayom Yom Rishon LeMoshe Rabbeinu's Aliyah, Hayom Yom Sheni. It would have been foolproof when Moshe went and when he's coming back. It would have been no problem. You don't have to blow shofar. You don't have to make signals. The shofar was a way of putting Klal Yisrael in a state of mind that the Egel Azov should not be possible. That the concept of an Egel Azov, not that the calculation, the miscalculation, shouldn't happen again. That's pshat in the Pilkei de Rebbe Lezer. Says the Torah, Al Yidei Oysoi Tkiyas Nis'ala HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The objective of that tekiah wasn't to let Klal Yisrael set the time correctly. It was to set their minds and hearts correctly. And the mela, the chet of the Egel Azov, won't be shayach to occur. That was the point of the tekiah. And that's why it was through the tekiahs. Not through some notice to let people know what the day is. It was to put them in that state of mind. In that vein, continues the tour, and he says, we want to keep that feeling. Chodeshel. It says, Melu with a Keachor HaChodesh. It's not two timing. It's one time. It's one time. And that's our job. The job of Chodeshel is not just to look at what we've done and to try to fix what we've done, to patch it up. The job of Chodeshel is to root out what leads us to do what we do and to go to the root cause and to do something to be mamayit that area. Malbe where we have to be malbe, to be mamayit where we have to be mamayit, to make sure that our state of mind will be different. If you look in the Leket Yoyishe, which was written by the Talmud Muvik of the Trumas Hadesh, he says, the reason why we say slichas is kidei sheyale tfiloseinu barotzen. That's his lush. So when I saw those words in the Leket Yoyishe, it enlightened me why we say slichas before the davening. And we don't say todu v'sheni todu todu kodim. Because the slichas is akdoma the tefillah. It's not we happen to daven and we happen to say slichas. It could very well be that this would be another pshat in why the Baal Tfil of the Slichas, he's the Baal Tfil of the Sha'al Tfil of Sayyim. There's many reasons given. Maschel b'mitzvayim l'gmor, and the Binyan Shloimeh from Vilna has another pshat. But according to the Leket Yoyishe, you could say, the Slichas is Akdom l'Tfil. And I think that the pshat you could say is like this. My favorite vort, I know I'm going to drop over, but I'll just add this one knesh. My favorite vort, some of you I'm sure recall, is on the Mishnah Makis. We talk about Tfil. The Mishnah Makis. Mishnah Makis teaches us the Koyach HaTfilah. That the Kohen Gadol has to be afraid that the murderer in the Ori Miklot will daven that he should die. That's the Koyach HaTfilah. Unbelievable. You go to a Rebbe, you go to Big Tzaddik to get a brocha that he should daven for you. You think the Tfilah of the Tzaddikim, that's the murderer. The Kohen Gadol. Okay, the holiest Jew, the Vilna Gaon writes in Aderes Aliyot that the Kedushas Yisrael comes from the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol has to worry about the tefillah of the Rotzeach. So what was the comeback against that tefillah? It's a Mishnah Malkus. Imoiseim shel kahanim gedelim, the mothers of the Kohen Gadol would bring mayim u'mozim, they would bring food to the Rotzeachim. Kedei shelo yispalu al b'neim shiyamus. Azay shteit mishneh. So it bothered me, I was kid twice young when I was a kid. Couldn't understand. You have a murderer in prison. He has a life sentence. Shomtei dirosei, shomtei kviyosei, shomtei misosei. He's stuck. There's no parole. It's not like today. It's nothing. That's where you are. Loilum voetishkin. Right? The only solution for the Ratzeach is if the Kohen Gadol dies. Needless to say, that's the only thing the Ratzeach could daven for. Yerotzen, Mistami had in his Siddur, in his art scroll version, they had a separate art scroll for Ratzeach. The Ratzeach version. Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Svart. Whatever Nusach it is, it had over there in the back, Tfilah al Mises Kohen Gadol. It's my only way out. I'm going to daven, the Kohen Gadol should die. So now, the Alta Babitschke, the mother of the Kohen Gadol, comes to the prison, comes to Ori Miklut, and she gives me chocolate chip cookies and chocolate milk. Oh, now I'm going to stop davening that she should die, that son should die. I want out of here. So you give me some chocolate chip cookies. So that's it, now I'm not going to daven. But if you look in Yerushalmi, you'll see the text. The Yerushalmi in Marcus asks, what's going on? Kill Aschinim like the Bavli asks. Kill Aschinim. What, this Ratzeach is going to daven the Kohen Gadol should die? So we know the Bavli, Shoyolim, Lispalel. You know what the Yerushalmi says? Yerushalmi says, Itim hein l'tfilah. There are moments for tefillah. What's pshat? Itim hein l'tfilah. So Rabbi Isaac Charif says that when a person is mispalel b'chol levovoyu v'chol nimei nafshei, when a person davens from the depth of his heart, the tefillah can do chutz miderach hateva, what it could accomplish. He says the Ratzeach is sitting there in the Ori Miklut with his whole heart and soul. He's begging for his freedom. That tefillah, who knows what it could do. I believe that the mother of the Kohen Gadol knows that she won't stop the Ratzeach from davening. He's going to still daven. He's still going to daven that the Kohen Gadol should die. But once she made a rapport with this Ratzeach, she's giving him cookies, she's giving him... Now when he's davening, he's thinking about the mother of the Kohen Gadol too. He's saying, oh Lord, please have mercy on the mother of the Kohen Gadol. So when he dies, it shouldn't be so painful for the mother who brings me the chocolate chip cookies. That's already a chsorin and tefillah. That's all the mother wants to accomplish. Abisal areis in the tefillah. The tefillah shouldn't be b'chol levovoyu b'chol nafshei. Once she makes a distraction in the tefillah, that's already enough. We wonder why so often our tefillahs are not answered or the way we like them to be answered. It's because are we really davening? Are we really in a state of mind of tefillah? The ikar, like I'm telling you, the ikar tikkun of everything is to look at the state of mind that leads to these things. Tefillah dechavodah shebelev. Tefillah is not, many people think tefillah is something that you say. Tefillah is not something that you say. Saying is just like the Chovas Halvovas writes beautifully, ha-peh hu kulmus halev. The mouth is the pen of the heart. Tefillah is heart. Slichus is a way of us being makabel on ourselves. That tefillah is not just going to be tefillah. Tefillah is going to turn into avodas halev. And the slichus is putting us in that matzav that the tefillah should be itameim l'tefillah. And we should be makabel on ourselves now in these dalad yimei bikur, which the Yerushalmi compares these 4 days to the days that you prepare a kolben to go for mizbeach. We should have in mind that we're not just saying slichus now, but we're makabel year long, that our tefillahs will be prefaced by simas halev. If all of you could be makabel on yourselves, I'm not saying you have to be like the chassidim rishonim. Let's be makabel on ourselves that before shachris, we'll be makabel 5-10 minute hachonah l'tefillah. That the slichah should stay with us the whole year, to put ourselves in a state of mind so that the tefillah is not just avodah shebepeh, but it's avodah shebelev. And that's what the leket yoisha means, that the tachlis of slichus is kedei sheyiskabel tefillahshem. The Eibshe Zolhelfen, that if we taka turn into our mouths into kumas halev, the Eibshe will be makabel all our tefillahs. We should be zeicha us, together with Gans Klal Yisrael, to ishnas gulav Yeshua, only besuos teyev is Yeshua's v'nechomis.